Our reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Do not use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Now, most of you may or may not remember Grady Nutt. How many of you remember Grady Nutt from the show Hee-Haw? He was a pastor, and I was fortunate enough to have attended his funeral in Louisville, Kentucky, while I was a seminary student there, and got to meet Grady Nutt after his days at Hee-Haw. He became a part of the Louisville community. He shared a story about his childhood that has stuck with me. I think you'll appreciate it. I'd like to share it with you today. He indicated that he was about 7 at the time of the story. He grew up with 2 older brothers, an older sister, and the 2 older brothers were in their teenage years. His sister, Joanne, at this time was about 9 years old. Now, you may or may not know, but Grady's father was a Methodist pastor, so he grew up as a PK and then later became a Baptist minister. On one Sunday, he said, after the preaching service in their church, they invited the minister who had been speaking, a guest speaker, to come to their home, the parsonage, after the service for dinner. Now, Grady said, you had to know my mama, but she was a perfectionist. And whenever anybody came over for dinner, she made sure that everything was absolutely perfect. And she didn't pull out any stops for this guest pastor. On this occasion, she had done it all. She had prepared 6 different vegetables. She had freshly baked bread. She had a beautiful roast, homemade pies, relishes, jelly, and she put out the crystal and the silver. And over all of her table was this fine linen tablecloth that Grady said was my mama's pride and joy. Now, can you see the picture? Have you got a picture of this? For kids, Grady said, these times can be a little bit difficult. You wait around a lot, and you have to keep your stuffy church clothes on, and you got a strange preacher in your house, and you got to mind your P's and Q's, and you're hungry. And finally, they got called to the table. And Grady said the guest minister was invited to pray the blessing, and it was a long one. And by the time everything had been done, he said, we kids were ready to eat. And Joanne, the 8-year-old, pretty much did what other kids do. She started to reach out to grab the mashed potatoes, and when she did, she knocked over her glass of iced tea. And her tea came pouring towards Grady, and at the time he was 7, and he said, I didn't know what to do, so I jumped out of my chair to get out of the way of the tea coming my way, and when I did, my tea glass fell over, and kapoosh, tea was all over that fine linen tablecloth. Now, the amen had barely been said, and we got 2 glasses of tea dripping over a tablecloth and sopping through the linen, and Mama is mad. And she's moving fast, and she's got her napkin out, dabbing up the tea. She hasn't said a word yet. She's glaring at the two smallest children, and everybody knew a storm was about to happen. Mama was going to blow. Her eyes were popping out. The veins in her neck, it was bulging. Grady said, "Mama's going to blow." And before she says anything, she looked over at her husband with her eyes popping out. And he looked at her until he got her full attention. And then very deliberately, he reached up and knocked over his glass of tea. Push! All over the linen tablecloth. On the only clean side of the table. Now, nobody had ever seen a grown-up do this on purpose. But the two teenage boys thought it looked like permission. So they went poosh, poosh. We've got 5 glasses of iced tea, about 27 brown ice cubes on the beautiful tablecloth, and Mother can't believe it, and neither can the visiting minister, who never has much fun anyway. And when he saw all this, he reached out and knocked over his glass of iced tea. And the tablecloth was full with a mess. Mother, not sure what she's going to do. He winks at her. And she reaches down and knocks over her glass of iced tea too. And they all start laughing. It's the belly kind of laugh. You know what I mean? I mean laughter. Mom's laughing so hard she's leaning on her sons. Her sons are laughing. Even the guest minister who's laughing. He never laughs. But he was laughing. Everybody was laughing. And Grady said, "I looked down at the end of the table and there was Joanne. She wasn't laughing. She was crying. She had big tears coming down her face." Joanne was looking at her father. Tears of adoration. Tears of love. Absolute thanks. Because this man had done something really dumb to most people. But what he'd done was entirely consistent with the one Jesus called our Father in heaven. See, this man not only knew that a child's feelings were more important than a linen tablecloth, but he was saying to everybody there, "If you're going to get her, you got to get me too. And the mess she's made, I'm making it mine." And the trouble she's in, well, I'm in it with her. What do we call that? Well, I call it grace. What we know in the church, or should know, is that every single person here, single one of us, well, we've all made a mess of things. And we've all had reasons to be embarrassed. We've all had that experience of how something got ruined and we were the ones that caused it. And what's been spilled for each of us is it's more than just tea. It's more like blood. It's like the blood of people that we've wronged, and we'd unspill it if we could. But there it is. Just keep spilling out in front of us. To our horror and the horror of others and the hurt of other people. But I've got good news for you today, and this is the good news. The living God has said to all of us, my children, the trouble you're in it, I'm in it with you. And the mess you've made, I'm going to make it mine. The blood that's been spilled, I'm going to spill my blood too. I will join my blood with your blood. That incredible gift of grace goes out to all of you. And if you're numbered among the transgressors, then so am I. I will restore my beloved daughters and sons, says the Lord, and the word we give to this restoration from the mess that we've made and the love of a father who joins his blood with the blood that we have spilled is grace. Grace means that what we've ruined and where we've ruined ourselves, the eternal Creator has entered in the doom, has entered into our suffering, has entered even death so that we might forgive the unforgivable. It's amazing grace. There's nothing that you can do to make it happen. It's just freely given. That's why it's amazing. You don't deserve it. But it's given anyway. And it's the central truth that we claim as followers of Jesus Christ. The gospel has many truths, but all of them move and orbit around this one central truth. Amazing grace. It's our song. It's our source. It's our hope. It's our strength. It's our witness to the world. It's grace. What we receive and what we give. And this is the part about grace I think is probably the most difficult. It's the hardest part for us. It's hardest to grasp. But the scripture is really plain. The miracle of mercy that we've received so freely, we are bound to by living it and giving it just as freely as we have received it. If you want to draw the word grace, it comes down in the form of a cross. It's downward to us and outward through us. And that, by the way, is the church. It's the meaning of that text that I read. The last sentence, perhaps one of the loveliest verses of Scriptures. Did you hear it? Most of you learned it maybe when you were little. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Isn't that beautiful? It's lovely. But the text begins by saying something like this. Watch your mouth. Let all evil talking cease among you. Stop bad-mouthing people. Instead, why don't you find something nice to say? Isn't life hard enough? Why don't you be kind to each other? Why don't you build each other up? And encourage each other and love each other. And one way that I know that we here need to learn a lot about grace is because of how much I hear people saying unkind words about other people. Sometimes I do it myself. And you know when I notice it most? It's starkest to me when somebody who's a good friend is putting down another person who's a good friend. Have you ever had this? Ever happened to you? And when that kind of thing happens, I start to think, you know, you're exactly right. Boy, that the things you're saying about him or her, you are right on. I am telling you. This other person does have those flaws. They really do. But I know some things about him that, well, I don't know. If you knew his whole life, you'd probably hold your gripes in. The context of his life and everything else he's going through, I kind of know some things maybe that you don't know, and I know what you're saying is true, but there's a lot of other things going on. And then I start thinking, you know, my friend, you're not the best guy in the world either. I kind of think maybe you got some flaws too. How come you think you're so much better than him or her? And then I'm thinking about God and how God loves us all. How the Word of God says to critical me and critical you, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. You don't know. Of course, that doesn't mean we don't confront each other, or when we see wrong going on, or we think we do, the possibility of correction is important. In Christian faith, we are required to give and take. Confrontation, correction, as love must always do. But there's a way to love, and there's a way to honor, and there's another way that belittles. Paul says, speak to one another in ways that build each other up. So what you must say in a way that leaves room and gives room a chance so the other person can grow. Of course, it's deeper than our words, isn't it? It's possible, you know, to have our speech all correct and say all things perfect and right and polite and still to be horribly unkind. Have you ever had that situation where somebody said something nice to you and it was so cold and hollow? You know, there's a wind that comes from an angry spirit that blows right through the other person. Have you ever been chilled almost to death by somebody's polite words to you? Paul says here, pay attention to your words. And then look further. We're all going to have to take the surgery that cuts through and starts probing. Everybody comfortable here? Are you ready for this? If you want to, you can get up and leave. I understand. So how bitter are you? How angry are you, really? How vicious are you? The text says we have to look deeper than our anger and our bitterness and our maliciousness, and we have to put it away. And Paul says, put it away. Now that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Just put it away. But it's not. We've got these ugly feelings deep down inside of us, and they've been fed for a really long time. And how do I just put them away? Well, Paul doesn't answer that question. What he does instead is he points to an alternative. You know, they say if you want to change something about your life, it really won't work very well if you put your concentration into moving away from the bad stuff. You'll do it a lot better if you focus into moving into the good stuff. If your focus is on the negative, you'll probably live in the negative. If it's on the positive, you'll probably live in the positive. So Paul points to something better. Paul points to something good. Paul says, let's try this instead. Let's try this. Be kind. Tender-hearted. And as God has forgiven you, you forgive others in Christ. And the words Paul wrote are so deep. His first word is be kind. Now, some of you are going to associate that with something you say to children, you know, oh, be nice. Well, don't do that, because when the Bible talks about this, kind, it's nothing like being nice. The Greek word for kindness means to be pragmatically useful. It means to be winsome and to be pleasant, and it also means this, it means to go easy. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy, he uses this word. Same word. Go easy on each other. Isn't life hard enough? Go easy on each other. You don't know what the other person's going through. You really don't know. And you also don't know what might just break them. You know? What I love most about this word is there's only one letter difference from the word Christ. And when you read them, it means the same, be Christ to each other. And certainly as God, through Christ, has cut you a lot of slack, we need to do the same for each other. The second word's tender-hearted. In Greek, it's all used through the gospel. It talks about the compassion of Jesus. It's what Jesus sees when he sees somebody in need. When he looked upon somebody who was a sinner, he looked upon them, and the scripture says he looked upon them with compassion. He was tender-hearted. He saw in them a need that needed to be filled. And this is the kind of vision that Jesus had when he looked on the lepers, when he looked on the sinners, when he looked on people who had needs. He looked upon them with compassion, with tender heart. Look upon one another with a tender heart, with compassion. See them in their need. Jesus was so moved about the inner condition of others that he acted. It means not letting the inside of yourself get rigid or hard or inflexible, but staying responsive and visually aware of the hurt of others and then meeting that need. You know, growing up, that means that we understand that everybody from time to time is going to spill something on the table. You know? Well, it's okay. It's okay. I have a feeling that tender-hearted is just another word for being gracious. I was talking to the heart surgeon. He said, you know, your problem is your heart gets hard. And when that happens, well, that means you're dying. True in many ways. And as God's grace in Christ has pardoned you, pardon others. Keep forgiving each other. Literally, the word means let it go. Isn't that great? Remember the song, Let It Go? It's a Disney song. We can sing it. Let it go, right? Yeah, let it go. When your heart grows hard, you're dying. Let it go. Let it go. Turn loose. Turn loose. Have you noticed that many people make it a kind of power thing? Okay. All right, I'll let it go. Now you owe me. Really? Is that what God says to us? What he means is that we're to be gracious as God is gracious, as God has forgiven, you forgive. And to really forgive is to start from the point where we see each other in the grace of Christ. Christ becomes the lens, the heart becomes tender, and we become more kind. I had a dream not long ago, really touched me in my dream. I was sitting in a pew, it's right over here. Church was having some kind of big celebration, and you know, I was sitting next to somebody that I've had some disagreements with. And we were talking and laughing and smiling. And in my dream, it became clear, we really do love each other. And then the service began and the choir started to sing a song, one of my favorites, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And I heard them sing these words, and from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of your glorious love and my unworthiness. And my eyes fill with tears. And I looked over at the person that I had a disagreement with, and she was crying too. That's how it ended. Two reconciled people sitting next to each other with tears in their eyes beneath the cross of Jesus. In the grace that's been given to us all. I got to tell you, that's where true living starts. If you make Christ the lens for looking into the lives of others, you'll be more forgiving, more kind. And you'll be amazed at what Christ can do. Let's pray. Holy Lord, we have cried already for mercy from you. We'd like to do more than just celebrate your gifts. We desire, God, to grow deeper in love with you and in our care and love for each other. Give us gentle, open hearts. Help us to find new ways of speaking love and kindness to each other. Help us to find new ways of hearing each other, and help us to extend our gratitude to you for the grace that you have given by extending that same grace to one another through Christ our Lord. Amen.